UM femme. UN is a distinguished professor at ma of mathematics at Université Paris-Cité. He leads research in stochastic analysis and control, quantitative finance and machine learning, and is the author of more than 100 publications, including the monograph Continuous Time Stochastic Control and Optimization with Financial Applications. He serves on the editorial boards of several international journals and is the co-editor-in-chief of the journal Applied Mathematics and Optimization. Professor Pham was appointed member of the Institut Universitaire de France in 2006, awarded the Louis Bachelier Prize by the French Academy of Science in 2007, and was a plenary speaker at the 9th World Congress of the Bachelier Finance Society in 2016 and at the 6th Asian Quantitative Finance Conference in 2018. So today he will speak about non-parametric generative modeling for time series via Schrödinger bridge.
Okay, so thank you, Céline, for the kind introduction. Thanks to all the organizers for inviting me to this online seminar. For this talk, I would like to present recent works with Pierre-Henri Laborde, who is now working in the hedge fund Cube Research Technology, and with Mohamed Hamdouche, who is a PhD student that we co-supervise together. So it's about so it will be a mix between machine learning and stochastic control, and so more precisely around generative modeling. And so let me first recall what is the problem we are interested in. So it's a oops. Okay, so. So we are interested in generative modeling for time series. So the problem is the following. So suppose that you have access to some data set or sample from some unknown distribution of a time series. Okay, so this occurs in various situations. So you can think about time series from medical data for patient or a production consumption of in electricity, and in fact, our main motivation here is from finance, where you typically the time series from asset price or volatility surface. And so the goal is to learn or to estimate this unknown distribution, this target distribution, and or to in fact generate new samples of this target measure. Okay, so this is of course interesting for the application, for example, to improve your clinical prediction, okay, in the healthcare context, or to improve the weather forecast. And in the context of financial industry, where we often lack of historical data, you can by synthesizing new scenario of your time series, you can improve your market risk measurement, or in a reinforcement learning, you can expect to learn better your optimal trading strategy. So anyway, the generative modeling is now, as you know, a classical task in AI and machine learning, used notably in image processing with a spectacular success. Okay, so you can find open source platform who can generate a new image. And so, of course, this leads to some controversy, but well, this is not the debate today. And mathematically, there are several competing methods in generative modeling, and we can roughly classify the method in three categories. So the first one is a likelihood-based model, where you directly learn the distribution probability density, for example, via maximum likelihood. So example of such model includes energy-based model, variational autoencoders, or normalizing flow models. A second class is implicit generative models, whereas the probability distribution is in fact implicitly learned by a model. So the most prominent example is a generative adversarial network, GAN, where new samples of the target distribution are synthesized from a prior distribution with an adversarial network that is trained to distinguish real samples from generated ones. Okay, and lastly, a new emergent class of generative AI model has emerged called score-based diffusion model, where the basic idea is to progressively add noise to the data sample via an ergodic diffusion, so usually a variant of the Hochstein-Lonbeck, in order to transform it after a sufficiently long time into a tractable invariant measure, for example, the Gaussian noise. Okay, so you see this picture here. So you transform into a noise called prior distribution. Then the time reversal denoising process is used to produce a new sample of this data distribution. Okay, and so in this time reversal process, a key role is played by the score function, which appears in the drift of this time reversal process, okay, which is estimated by a score matching techniques from sample of the forward process. But most of these methods have been performed for static data or image. And when you want to okay, to deal with time series, this raises some interesting new challenge because you have to, of course, to take into account the temporal setting of your data. And so it is not, of course, not enough to learn only the time marginals. And it is even not enough to learn the joint distribution because, of course, the joint distribution is exchangeable with respect to the components. So if you do not exploit the sequential structure, okay, you will lose the causality of your time series. And so the challenge is to capture accurately the potentially complex dynamics of variable across time. Okay, so in other words, you have to learn the temporal transition of your time series. So this generative model for time series have, of course, attracted recently a lot of attention in the literatures. And so in this slide, I give you a kind of state-of-the-art generative models. So there are many large class of methods around so GAN type methods. Okay, so you see like time series GAN, quant GAN, causal optimal transport GAN, PCF GAN. So essentially, in all these methods, which are variants of GAN, the main objective is to design an architecture of a neural network which will accurately capture the temporal setting of your time series. Another method called neural SD, where you represent your time series in terms of some diffusion process with parametric and diffusion coefficient with drift and diffusion coefficient parametrized, for example, by a neural network, and then you will train this neural network in order to fit okay with your real samples. Okay, and lastly, I also have, of course, to mention okay, a method based relying on signature theory, okay, and adapted for time series. Okay, so there are several people, so in particular, Adeline Fermier in France and a group of people around Terry Lyons in Oxford. But most of these generative methods are parametric and essentially require the training of neural network. Okay, which is known to be sometimes difficult, especially in the tuning of the parameters. And so in this talk, okay, we would like to propose a generative model based on Schrodinger bitch. So it is a non-parametric method, so in contrast with a GAN-type method. So it will rely on the diffusion model, but in contrast with score-based diffusion models that I have just talked in the introduction. So the key point in the Schrödinger bridge approach is that it's a diffusion over a finite horizon, and so without a time reversal. And of course, okay, the goal, okay, is to okay to adapt this method to for time series. Okay, so the rest of the talk essentially will be divided in two parts. So in the first part, I will present the method, the theory, and the algorithm. Okay, and in the second part, I will illustrate with various numerical experiment, both in with a simulated data set and a real data set, in order to show the performance and accuracy of our proposed approach. Okay, so let me first make some reminder on the classical Schrödinger bridge problem. So what is it? So it's in fact entropic optimal transport raised by Schrödinger, and so you can also see now a very nice survey by Christian Leonard. And so the problem is the following: so you are given some reference measure on path space. So usually the Wiener measure, okay, over a finite horizon. You are given two distribution, mu and nu, so which will be typically the data distribution and some prior distribution. And so the goal is to find the closest probability measure, okay, with respect to some reference probability, some reference to the reference measure, okay. And closest in the sense of the Kullback labeler divergence, also called relative entropy, so that it admits as marginal mu at time zero and nu at time capital T. So in other words, okay, you want to construct, okay, a bridge, okay, between mu and nu from zero to capital T. In fact, you can reformulate such problem, okay, in term of stochastic control, okay, using Gersanov's theorem. And so this can be okay, formulated as a problem of minimizing the drift of your diffusion process, so that your diffusion, okay, is distributed according to mu at time zero and to nu at time capital T. And you want to minimize this quadratic energy functional, which is in fact correspond to the Kullback labeler divergence when P is a probability measure which by Gersanov's theorem transform your Brownian motion, okay, into this process X. Okay, so such problem in fact is a well-known Schrödinger bridge problem. And it is known that the optimal drift, okay, is in feedback form. So it will be a feedback function of the time and of the bridge diffusion X. And this feedback function A star is characterized in terms of a Schrödinger system, which can be numerically solved, okay, by the Sinkhorn algorithm, or by some refinement of Sinkhorn algorithm called score-based matching. And in fact, such idea has been recently used, okay, to sample to sample the data distribution. And I mentioned the recent work by Valentin de Bortoli and his co-author Vargas, and also some group of people in Hong Kong, Wong and his co-author. And so, in this method, okay, we would like to formulate, okay, our Schrödinger bridge time series problem as follow. Okay, so you are given some probability distribution, okay, corresponding to the data time series distribution. So it's a probability measure on RD times capital N. So it corresponds to the time series distribution of some RD value process that you can observe at N dates, or capital N dates. And so we propose the following entropic interpolation of mu. So we want to find a diffusion process where again you control the drift. So you start from zero, okay, and you control the drift or your diffusion by minimizing again this quartic energy functional, okay, so that when you look at the joint distribution of your time series along some time grid T1, Tn, then you want to match, okay, perfectly, in fact. So you want that the joint distribution of the of XT1, XN match with your target time series measure. Okay, so we call this the entropic interpolation of mu. And so by definition, if you are able to do this, okay, you will respect the dynamics of your time series, okay, through this diffusion process X. So some remarks, some important remarks. So the time grid that you will choose to interpolate your diffusion, okay, may be different from the observed time of the time series. Okay, and so the idea is that because here, okay, we want to construct a diffusion driven but only by Brillouin motion, so without diffusion coefficient. So if you want to eventually to capture the variance of your time series, okay, it may be relevant, okay, to adjust your time grid, okay, so that you can eventually capture the variance of your time series. Okay, so this is a problem that we want to solve first mathematically. And so in order to have well-posedness of this problem, so we need to make some natural assumption, okay, which are in fact assumption which are similar to what was done in the context of the classical Schrödinger bridge problem. So we assume that your target distribution mu, okay, admits a density with respect to the Lebesgue measure. And if we denote by a mu w tau the distribution of the Brownian motion along the time grid, so in other words, the distribution of WT1, et cetera, WT1, which of course admits an explicit formula for the density, then we assume that the relative entropy of mu with respect to mu w is finite. Okay, so this is this assumption H, which is in fact satisfied whenever your target measure come from a process with Gaussian noise, or it may have heavy tail distribution, but it needs to have a second moment order. And then our main theoretical result is to obtain analytic solution to this Schrödinger bridge problem, time series problem. And so this is derived in this theorem. So it says that under this assumption of finite relative entropy, then the optimal control drift, will be in this path-dependent form. Okay, so which means that at any time t, so you take a time t between two interpolation date, ti and ti plus one, then your optimal drift is a function of t and xt, so it's feedback, but it also depends on all the path value of your diffusion. Okay, so it depends on xt1, xti, where ti is the last time before your current time t. Okay, and this function A star here admits this analytic expression. So it looks like a score function in the sense that you take the gradient, okay, of the log of this expectation. So you take the expectation of the ratio between mu and mu w, okay, of all your xy, xt, xt1, xtn, where the expectation, okay, is the expectation under which your process x is a Brillouin motion by Gerzanov's theorem. Okay, so this is the expression of your optimal drift from the Schrödinger bridge problem. And so this means that by construction, if you look at the corresponding diffusion process, so with this drift, okay, starting from zero, then by construction, okay, its joint distribution along the time grid, okay, match perfectly with your target measure. Okay, so now, so this is the main theoretical result, and so the application. So now we have the application to generative modeling. So first, you have to choose the time grid. Okay, so in dimension one, okay, you can calibrate the time step of your grip to the empirical variance of your target measure over ti, ti plus one. So it's like you, in fact, you make a time change Brillouin motion. So in the sense that you take a time step equal to the variance, empirical variance of the increment of your time series. Okay, so, and if you are in dimension strictly larger than one, okay, one possibility is to normalize each component of the random vector of the time series by its standard deviation, and then use a uniform time step one. Okay, so once you have fixed your time grid, then the key point is to estimate or learn, if you want, the Schrödinger drift. Okay, so this Schrödinger drift here, because of course, the point with the Schrödinger drift is that it is analytic, okay, but it cannot be computed because it involves mu, which is an unknown distribution. Okay, and so you have to learn to estimate this drift from sample of your target distribution. Okay, and so this will be the purpose of the next slide in a moment. And once you are able to estimate this drift, then you can simply simulate, for example, by Euler scheme, your Schrödinger bridge diffusion, and then you will be able to produce new samples of mu, okay, with the realization of your, okay, of XT1, etc., XTN. Okay, and also one interest of this Schrödinger bridge diffusion is that you can also do some prediction, okay, by computing the conditional law of XTi plus one given the pass value. Okay, so now, of course, in order to implement this generative modeling, the key point is the estimation of this Schrödinger drift. And so now, if we go back to this to the expression of the Schrödinger drift, okay, so using the score function and the Gaussian property of the Brillouin motion, you can rewrite, okay, the gradient of the log as this ratio, okay, involving this function h, where this function h, okay, is the expectation on over, okay, Gaussian vector, okay, of some of the function rho, which is the ratio between mu and mu w. Okay, and so one possibility is to follow the method that has been developed in the recent paper by Wang et al. In the case of static. In the case of generating a static distribution. So the idea is to derive an estimator of the density ratio, okay, and then plug this estimator inside the expression here, okay, and then compute this expectation, okay, with Monte Carlo. But in fact, this method is rather costly because it on the one hand, okay, it requires not only to sample from mu, but you need also to sample from mu w, okay, in order to estimate the density ratio. And then, okay, you need to compute, okay, Monte Carlo by okay, by sampling from the Gaussian vector Y. Okay, and so this may be costly. And so in this work, we propose an alternate method, okay, which is based in fact upon an alternative expression of the Schrödinger drift. Okay, so essentially using Bayes' formula and transition property of mu, okay, you can rewrite in fact your Schrödinger drift function A star, okay, as the following expression here. Okay, and so in this expression that you see in the formula two, okay, the key point is that now, okay, it's a conditional expectation, but the conditional expectation, okay, is done, okay, under mu, okay. And so the advantage of this expression, where the expectation is expressed under the mu, is that now you can estimate the drift function by relying directly on sample of mu, okay, from really using your data set. You don't need to sample from mu w. Okay, and so you have to compute this conditional expectation. So we will come back to the next slide. But maybe just one remark. So from this expression where you have to compute this conditional expectation under mu given the path value of x. Okay, so if you know a priori that your target distribution mu is a distribution arising from a Markov chain, then the conditional expectation which arises in the expression two, okay, will depend on the path value, okay, only via its last value, okay, which is more simple to compute from a numerical point of view. And in practice, okay, so what you can do is to test the Markov property of your time series and see to what order you need, okay, to condition on the past. Okay, so now that you have this representation of your drift in terms of conditional expectation under mu, okay, so it's now natural to approximate this conditional expectation by non-parametric regression, so usually a kernel regression method. Okay, so this means that you start from samples, so say m samples of your target distribution, time series distribution. And then, okay, you estimate the conditional expectation on the numerator and on the denominator, okay, using the well-known Nadaraya-Watson estimator, okay, with some kernel, okay, and with some bandwidth, a small h. Okay, and so a priori, because you need to condition on all the path values, so you have to take a kernel function, which is a multiplicative, okay, in the sense that it multiply by the number of okay of values that you need to go on when conditioning. And okay, you have to of course choose the bandwidth in your kernel method. Some remark, practical remark, when implementing this method. One thing that, of course, because here compared to GAN method, here, okay, it's once you have your samples, okay, the computation of the drift is very cheap, okay. It's just compute using this analytic formula in order to get an estimation of your drift, okay. So these don't require any training of neural network. But of course, in practice, okay, you have to choose the kernel. Actually, the choice is not really crucial. So you can take, for example, the Gaussian kernel, but the Gaussian kernel will involve exponential, which may be costly to compute. And so, in practice, what we take is a quartic kernel. Okay, so it's a kind of power kernel in this form with compact support. But the choice of the bandwidth H is more crucial because, as usual, you have to make a trade-off between the bias and the variance. Okay, so you have to choose H small enough in order to ensure that your estimator will converge, but not too small. Otherwise, you will not have enough a pass which goes into your bandwidth, especially in high dimension. And so actually we are studying the convergence of this estimator towards the real one. Okay, so this is a work in progress. Okay, so now here is the pseudocode of the algorithm. So it's a very simple algorithm, in fact. So when in practice you need to simulate your Schrödinger bridge, so you will discretize using Euler schemes. So for example, using NP points between two interpolation dates. Okay, and then you start from the data sample of your time series. Okay, you start from initial state zero. Okay, and then okay, you compute your drift, okay, by kernel method. So you compute at any point of your Euler scheme, and then you simply simulate, okay, your diffusion bridge, according to the standard Euler scheme, okay, and then okay, the output is to produce a new sample of your data or an approximation sample of your data distribution. The complexity of the algorithm is of order a big whole order of m. So m is the size of the sample of the time series. Capital N is the number of observation dates, and NP is the number of uniform steps in the Euler scheme. Okay, so this is now the theory and the algorithm. And so now in the rest of the talk, I would like to show you some numerical experiments, to illustrate how it performs, in practice. Okay, so but first, okay, once we design our method, okay, so how to evaluate if the method is good or not? So compared to image where you can simply rely on a visual plot and just see if your image is real looking. Here, okay, when you produce new sample of time series, okay, you need to have some metrics, okay, to evaluate the accuracy of your generators. So you can use statistical metrics. Okay, so for example, marginal metrics by performing, for example, Kolmogorov-Smirnov tests with p-value. So we call you that if you find that p is larger than alpha, which is usually of order 5%, then you do not reject the null hypothesis that the generator come from data of the reference distribution. You can also use temporal dynamics by computing the empirical distribution of the quartic variation along the time grid, and you compare with the empirical distribution of your time series. You can also compare the empirical covariance or correlation matrix of both your generated diffusion and from the time series. And also, we can do some predictive score in order to measure the ability of our model, okay, to capture accurately the conditional distribution over time. On the other hand, we can also do some test on real metric, which may be more interesting in practice for industry. Usually by comparing, for example, deep hedging in risk management. So meaning that now if you are able to produce new samples, will that help to improve, your trading strategy, for example, in deep hedging, compared to deep hedging where you only rely on a historical data set. Okay, so I will show you some numerical tests. And I will start with a very toy example. So the toy example of time theory is the autoregressive model. So here we take autoregressive model with three dates. Okay, and so the parameters are the following. So we start from a sample of 1,000 of mu. For the kernel estimation, we use a bandwidth H 0.05. The number of time steps in the Euler scheme is 100. And so you see here that to generate 500 new samples of our Schrödinger bridge, it is you see it's very fast. It only take 4 seconds. And in the figure on the bottom, okay, so we plot, okay, so the joint distribution from our Schrödinger bridge in orange and from the real one, the autoregressive one, okay, for each component. So here between XT1, XT2, XT1, XT3, XT2, XT3. And on the axis, okay, you see the marginal distribution, okay, of both the real one and the generated one. Okay, and so you see that it fits rather well in this toy example. Okay, and so now if you will look some metrics, so for example, the marginal metrics, okay, so we look the marginal metrics for each marginal by computing the p-value. And so you see that the p-value are largely above 5%. We also compute the quantile at 5% and 95%. So here is a Q5 is a real one, and in Qtil is the quantile computed from the Schrödinger diffusion. And so you see that they are pretty close. Okay, and so the table, the bottom table, show you the difference between the empirical correlation from the generated sample and reference samples. So we take the difference, and you see that it's very close to zero at each row and column. Okay, so this is for this toy example. Another example, now a multivariate autoregressive Gaussian model. So here we are in dimension D. So now we have a noise, okay, where in the noise, okay, you have two parameter in this model. So you have the parameter phi, which captures the correlation across time step, and you have the parameter sigma here, okay, which captures the correlation across the components of each x, which is in dimension D. And so we compute the predictive score. So in other words, we compute the mean absolute error between the conditional mean from the generated model and the conditional mean of the true model, which in this autoregressive model is explicit, just phi multiplied by XTi. Okay, and we compare our predictive score with the method in the paper by the time gap method. Okay, so on the left, you see we vary the temporal correlation. Okay, and so we see that when varying the temporal correlation by fixing sigma. Okay, so you see that, so of course here the lower the better for the predictive score. And so you see that our method produce a better predictive score. So in other words, okay, our generative model is able to capture more accurately the temporal correlation across time. Okay, which is not surprising because by construction you have a diffusion process, so you're really able to to have model which captures the temporality across time. Okay, and on the right, okay, now we vary as we fix phi and we vary the correlation across the D components, so sigma. And so here you see that the time GANs, okay, slightly perform better than our Schrödinger bridge process, which may be due to the fact that our method may be not so efficient in high dimension due to this kernel method. Okay, maybe a more sophisticated model is a Garch model. Okay, so it means where you add some stochastic volatility in your time series. And so here you see a sample path of the reference model. And on the right, you see also four sample paths of the Schrödinger bridge. Okay, so you see that they rather look like similar. Some metrics. So on the left, we plot the p-value for each marginal, for each we have, so it's a time series with 60 value. Okay, so we plot the p-value for each of the marginal, and you see that most of the time you are largely above 5% and even 10%, which means that you do not reject the null hypothesis. And on the right, okay, we plot the samples of the joint distribution between the first value XT1 and the last value XTN for both the Garch model and for the Schrödinger bridge. And so you see that the plot is quite similar. Okay, and lastly, about generated simulated data, we take now a fractional Brownian motion. And with Hertz index H 0.1, so which is very rough. Okay, so here we use, okay, so here are the parameters that we use to simulate our Schrödinger bridge. And so it took 100 seconds, for example, to generate 1,000 generated paths. Okay, and so here we plot just four paths of our Schrödinger bridge. Okay, that has to be compared with the four paths of the fractional Brownian motion. Okay, but of course, so by construction, our Schrödinger bridge, okay, will interpolate the distribution of the fractional Brownian motion at the interpolation date Ti. But of course, between each interpolation date, okay, by nature, it will evolve as a diffusion process governed by the Brownian motion. Here are some metrics. So on the top, you see the empirical density of the fractional Brownian motion, okay, compared to the one from the Schrödinger bridge. Okay, and on the bottom, okay, we plot the covariance matrix for the fractional Brownian motion, okay, on the left, to be compared with the covariance matrix of the Schrödinger bridge. Okay, so that's all for simulated data. And oh yes, maybe still with the fractional Brownian motion. So we can also estimate our Hertz index using our synthetic samples. So we use this standard estimator of a Hertz index. Okay, and then what we found, okay, is an estimator which is 0.002, okay, which is rather close to the real one, which is, I recall you, is 0.1. Okay, and so lastly, I would like to now to give some application on real data sets. Okay, so the real data set come from the company Apple, okay, from January 2010 until January 2020, so right before the COVID. Okay, so that we have rather stationary time series. And so in order to create a sample of apples, okay, we simply use a sliding windows, okay, with block of 60 days, so that we can produce, okay, over this period of 10 years, 2,500 samples. And then we are interested in the following problem. Okay, so it's we are interested in the classical hedging problem of a call option on Apple. So you take the call option, and you want to find the price and the strategy. Okay, which minimize okay your P&L or your replication error between your portfolio and your call option. Okay, so this is a classical stochastic control problem, quantitative hedging control problem, which can be solved, okay, if you have a model for X. But here we only want to, we would like to solve this problem based only on samples. Okay, so now that we want to do deep hedging. Okay, so this means that we shall parameterize our hedging strategy by neural networks. Okay, and then replace this expectation by empirical expectation. Okay, and then we want to compare our performance when using historical data and when using synthetic sample. Okay, and so more precisely, what we do, so you start from your data set that you divide, okay, into a training set and a test set. So you from your training set, okay, you will estimate, you will able to produce, okay, your Schrödinger bridge and generate new samples. Okay, using these new samples, okay, you plot into your expectation here in order to compute your delta strategy, so that we call delta SB for Schrödinger bridge, and then we compute with a hedging strategy that use only your historical data. Okay, and then okay, we want to compare the performance of each of these strategy on the test set by looking at the corresponding P&L. Okay, and so we will see if we are able, okay, thanks to this new sample to produce a better P&L. Okay, and so here are the results. So on the top, we see the P&L from the data. Okay, this from the historical data set and the P&L obtained from the Schrödinger bridge. And as you can see, the distribution of your P&L from the Schrödinger bridge, is slightly more shifted on the right, and it has also lower variance. Okay, which is confirmed by this table, where you see that the standard deviation of your P&L, okay, is slightly smaller, okay, than the P&L obtained from your data historical data set. In other words, okay, you obtain a smaller replication error, okay, using your real data set. So in other words, you are really able to improve your performance by using these new synthetic samples. Okay, so now I would like to, okay, now it's time to give some final remark. So in this work, so we have proposed a new generative model for a time series based on the Schrödinger bridge approach. So to sum up, the solution is described by a forward SD over a finite period, which match perfectly with the data distribution. So it interpolates your target time series measure. So the drift is estimated by a non-parametric regression for example, kernel method, which is a practical and a low cost computationally. Okay, so in particular, this does not require training of neural network as in GAN type methods. So I show you a series of numerical experiment, okay, included some financial application with real data, okay, to illustrate the performance and accuracy of this generative Schrödinger bridge. And so some further developments that are under current investigation. So this model can be enriched, okay, in order to fit more accurately with the data time series. For example, here we can, okay, not only play on the drift, but we can also play on the diffusion coefficient. So this will be, of course, particularly relevant if you want to capture more accurately the variance or the diffusion of your time series. You may also, okay, if you believe that in your time series it's come from a jump process, or this is in particular relevant if you are in the context in insurance, and then it will be probably more relevant to also to consider a jump diffusion process for the Schrödinger bridge. So in other words, you may not only want to control the drift, but also possibly the intensity of your jump measure. So as I said, the kernel method in practice, as it is well known, suffer from the curse of dimensionality. So here dimensionality come on one hand from the dimension of your process, so D, but it also may come from the number of observation, capital N. And so if both D and N are large, so usually the kernel method will be not very efficient. So this is a well-known drawback from kernel method. And in this case, an alternative method would be to estimate the drift function by neural network, and more precisely with a long short-term memory network in order to capture the path dependency of your drift function. Okay, and so last slide, just to give you the reference of this work, okay, that you can find on archive, and also a code available on this link where you can play on this algorithm to test other okay to test and generate a new sample from your sample data samples. Okay, so I think I will stop here, and thank you for your attention.
So thank you, Rian, for your presentation. Are there some questions in the audience?
Hi.